the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you, Gabby?
Hey, happy Thursday.
I'm good.
Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Thursday already.
Yes. Wow.
Yay.
Y'all ready to get the day started?
Let's do it.
Feast day of Pope St. John the First. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope St. John, you chose to value the truth of the Catholic faith over your own life. You remained steadfast in the proclamation of the gospel until the very end. Please pray for us that we will never waver in our faith and will never give in to temptation to water down that faith. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Hey, save these dates. June 5th through the 9th is our summer pledge drive. So you will have some fun time listening to us when we talk about ways that Catholic community media is important in our local area and needed right now in our world today. Mm-hmm. So June 5th through the 9th, we will come to you asking for your help to continue to financially support Catholic community media to keep us on the air. So if you love listening to Wake Up, it's because of your donations. So June 5th through the 9th. Keep those dates in mind.
And you're going to have 2 hours of Wake Up. A little bonus there.
2 hours of Wake Up.
For the whole week.
It'll be
You're going to have to drink more coffee, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right with me.
Right.
If River Road brings it, I will drink it.
I'm thinking donuts in the future, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
we'll have plenty of food.
All right. Good.
Yes, we will. Well, we have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in your listening area. We will give you details about that is coming up in 6 minutes. In 18 minutes, Steve Ray joins us. He is a Catholic convert and pilgrimage leader, and we're going to be talking about Our Lady. So the whole segment's going to be focusing on Our Lady as we approach the Feast of the Visitation, which will be at the end of May. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to hearing Steve's wonderful insights on this
topic. He's got the coolest stories about Mary. It is really a lot of insight. You're absolutely right. It's good stuff. Yep.
Yes. I always learn something new when we listen to Steve Ray talk about anything.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. And David Dawson Jr. joins us in 35 minutes. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. And we're going to be talking about prioritizing being on the same page with your spouse. So that's going to be a great conversation with Dave. And in 48 minutes, Samuel Rotman joins us. He is a director of institutional development over at Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And he will be giving us an update on what they are up to for the month of May, which is a lot, as always. They're always doing great things over in the Archdiocese as Catholic Charities, helping others who need it the most. So looking forward to today's show, and Damian, looking forward to your weather report today.
Well, it was a gorgeous sunrise for sure.
It was pretty.
I hope everyone got a chance to see that. If not, you really missed out because God created a masterpiece this morning. Should be a wonderful day weather-wise. Little or no rain in the forecast for a change. Winds out of the west at 6. High is going to be 88, low somewhere around 67. Tomorrow, expect pretty much the same thing. We'll be a little bit warmer with a high of around 92. And the weekend's looking pretty good, too. Only about a 25-30% chance of rain. So that's minimal in our area when we get something like that.
Lately, huh?
Yeah, so temperatures in and around the area. Everybody in the 70s. 70 degrees right now in Covington. Over in Biloxi, it's 72. Houma-Thibodaux, it's 71. In New Orleans, 75. And in Baton Rouge, it's 70 degrees. A little cool right now compared to everybody else. And we've got events coming your way you want to make note of, as well as the gospel on Wake Up.
A
good Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while later and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What does this mean that he is saying to us, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?" So they said, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he means." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing with one another what I said? 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me?' Amen, amen, I say to you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Today we celebrate the glorified Jesus' ascension into heaven when he is enthroned at the right hand of the Father. This event Mark recorded 40 days after the resurrection. It is the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, and to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. In addition to his enthronement as a divine king of all creation, Jesus also ascended to the Father as the eternal high priest. The essential, then, should be seen as the completion of Jesus' sacrifice that encompassed his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. The ascension is the vital completion of Jesus' sacrifice for us, for it is at the heavenly altar that Jesus, the Lamb of God, eternally offers the totality of himself to the Father on our behalf. And because he is the enthroned priest-king, seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. St. Paul continues, "Now the point in what we are saying is this: we have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister in the sanctuary of the true tent, which is set up not by man, but by the Lord." This is the mystery that is made present to us every time we attend Mass. This is the reason that our prayers are so powerful when they're made through the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. How can the Father refuse the request of such a Son? He can't. This is the power source of the Divine Mercy Chaplet as we pray. "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world." There is no request that is too big for God's mercy. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers and Father Chris Decker. And again, welcome back to Wake Up. Number of events taking place. Summertime is almost here, and young folks are going to want to have something to do. This could be one of them. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal, in coordination with the CYO office of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, will be having a bus trip to the Franciscan University of Steubenville for their main campus high school youth conference. Number four.
Wow.
The trip dates are July 13th through the 17th, and plan for a spirit-filled weekend of music, adoration, dynamic speakers, liturgy, and overall great fellowship. The trip is open to all upcoming eighth graders by this particular summer, and those who will also have completed the 12th grade. Trip cost is $5.95, and it includes all conference sessions, housing, food at the conference, transportation, and a couple of t-shirts they're going to give you. Deposits $200, and you're required with the initial registration form to reserve your spot in advance. Space is limited because it's really a fun trip. For more information, go to ccmedia.live.
That sounds awesome.
You guys, yes. It was this trip that changed my entire perspective on the Eucharist.
I
fully understood exactly why we were Catholic. Of course, grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
But that was such a monumental trip. highly recommend, even if your teen does not want to go, put them on this bus because it will change their life. It's incredible. I'll never forget
kidding.
This trip.
Well, that is good to
endorsed
know.
By Gabby Smith.
Wow, you know?
Yes.
That's really good. 100%. I'm going off script real quick here just to let folks know, in Baton Rouge, if you're listening to 1380 AM in Baton Rouge, it's going to be around 10 AM this morning. It's going to have to go off the air. We're doing much needed improvement on the towers, and this is going to be going on for a few days, but you will appreciate what's about to happen when we're done. It's going to be bigger and better, a little stronger than it's ever been. So please bear with us, please be patient. And there's the FM stations in Baton Rouge, 105.9 and 105.1, so tune into those and be patient. We're doing improving. So
690 AM, 690 also, depending AM. On where you are in Baton Rouge.
Even
too.
In Baton Rouge, you can get 690. Yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
In our app, too. You can download our app. Yep.
You know, anywhere. You can listen to your phone anywhere on the earth.
That's so, it. That's the beauty of streaming.
On earth.
Absolutely. We're worldwide, baby. So let's see. Okay, the 20th annual First Responders Mass is going to be May 21st at St. Catherine of Siena. And the Knights of Columbus, we're going to host it. It's the First Responders Mass, and it's Archbishop Amon is going to celebrate the Mass, and firefighters, EMS, first responders from Jefferson Parish, and the Louisiana State Police will be there. So that's Sunday, May 21st at 11 a.m.
You know, they're working overtime, so you know, I think they need
that's awesome. They have
masses.
A Mass. And 20th, too.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. Well, let's talk about this talk on Divine Comedy happening on May 20th at St. Francis of Assisi in Uptown New Orleans, one of my favorite churches in the Uptown area. It's hosted by author Danny Fitzpatrick to discuss his translation of the Divine Comedy, illustrated by a Catholic sculptor, Timothy Schmaltz. The event is on Saturday, May 20th at St. Francis of Assisi Church on State Street in New Orleans at 10 a.m.
Very nice.
Yes.
Last but not least, St. Chabelle is having a benefit for the church that they are in the process of building with the property that they purchased. It's the first annual crawfish boil. It will be Sunday at 1 o'clock at Highland Road Park in Baton Rouge under the Grand Pavilion.
Oh, yeah.
So go on out, and if you want to RSVP, go to saint@charbelle.org. saint@charbelle.org, and you can get all the details there. Steve Ray is coming your way. He's got a lot of details for you here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for May 18th. Today we celebrate Pope St. John I. Inheritances come in many forms. Sometimes they involve money or physical and personal traits passed from one generation to the next. Sometimes they involve particular historical realities. For today's saint, the historical reality he inherited was the Arian heresy, which denied the divinity of Christ. Born in 470, Siena native John was in poor health when he became pope in 523. Italy had been ruled for 30 years by an emperor who embraced the Arian heresy, but was reasonably tolerant of his subjects who were Orthodox believers. When the Eastern emperor began cracking down on the Arians in his area, the Western emperor Theodoric pressured John to lead a delegation to Constantinople to urge a change of heart. Little is known of the outcome of those negotiations, but John had become suspect in Theodoric's eyes. On his way home, John was imprisoned in Ravenna, dying there in 526. His body was taken back to Rome and buried in St. Peter's Basilica, where his epitaph reads, "A Victim for Christ." There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Team past the hour on Wake Up. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith, Damian Collada, and a wonderful reoccurring visitor that we have on the morning show. Steve Ray's joining us this morning again. Hey, Steve, welcome back.
Good morning. Always glad to join you. We've been doing this for a long time.
Yes, indeed, and loving every minute of it. You know, when we first started in Catholic Community Radio, Steve led our group in a beautiful retreat into the Holy Land. It was very memorable for all those, and everybody says the same thing. You'll never hear the gospel again the same because you lived it. You know, it's life-changing. I heard somebody even described visiting the Holy Land is, it's not on your bucket list, it's the bucket. And it's like, you know,
that's great.
So Steve, first question, how are those knees? I heard you got a little knee problems, or well actually they're getting better, I hope.
Yeah, 6 weeks ago today, almost, I had both of my knees replaced. I did them both at the same time to get it over with. I tell you, I did not, when I woke up, I had no idea what it was. I said, this was a big mistake. But 2 weeks in, I was up and moving around, and I'm 6 weeks in now, and the physical therapists are saying I'm way ahead of schedule and doing great. So, but it's a three-month process to be kind of normal a year before, you know, before it's kind of like not noticed anymore. So we're doing good.
All right. All right. So what about the travels? Does that affect that, or what are you going to do about
that? Oh, yeah. I took 4 months off. This is, except for COVID thing, where, you know, this is the first time we've had 4 months off. But I still have a few speaking engagements I have to fly out to next month. But we took 4 months off to do this because I knew it was going to incapacitate me for at least 3 to 4 months. So next trip is to Poland if anybody wants to go. We have a few seats left, and it's August 1st. The pilgrimage destination of the modern saints, John Paul II, Maria Faustina, Maximilian Kolbe. We're going to spend 9 days following them and going to Auschwitz, to the concentration camp. And then 4 more to Israel this year.
Goodness gracious. Well, Poland itself is a holy land, considering all that went on there and all the people that were there. It's just amazing. So this is the month of May, and we're gonna be celebrating the Feast of the Visitation. Am I right? Annunciation and Visitation.
Yes. And I'm glad we have an hour.
You do not. You have 10 minutes, so good luck. I hope you drank a lot of coffee. But you do have some incredible insights, because I've seen your videos on Mary, and I just love them. But my favorite is about the Annunciation. Of course, you have an example there about her Immaculate Conception. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, that's where it all begins, actually, because without Nazareth, there would be no Bethlehem. And people, I just asked on another radio show the other day, what's your favorite place in the Holy Land? And I said, well, I'd have to say Nazareth. Of course, the Holy Sepulchre, where he died and rose again, under one roof. But Nazareth, a lot of Protestants especially, don't even go there. But that's the place where it all began. That's where the angel said, you're going to give birth to a son. She said, yes, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. And at that moment, there was cells in her womb. You couldn't see them with the human eye. They were still too small. But those cells were 100% human and 100% divine. It was at that moment the incarnation took place. It wasn't in Bethlehem. The baby had already been here for 9 months. The baby in flesh had already been here 9 months. In fact, when she went to the visitation, only 3 months, or actually it was probably about 10 days she got there with Elizabeth, you couldn't have seen anything in her womb with your naked eye. And yet Elizabeth said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She knew who was in the womb, and John the Baptist and danced in front of that.
Right.
And so this is where the incarnation first took place. And I'll tell you what's really interesting is when you go to Nazareth and I take you down there, we pray the first joyful mystery, where those words came from. That's where those words were spoken.
Wow.
And it says on the altar, the word became flesh here.
Here. Isn't that amazing?
That
must take you back when you see that altar, knowing that's what happened right there.
Yeah. I get goosebumps still. I've been there. I've been in the Holy Land over 200 times, and I've been to Nazareth probably, and that place over 150, easy. And it still gives me goosebumps to see that, and it says the Word became flesh here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then she took a short little trip, just a nice little easy trip to go see Elizabeth. It's sort of like if we were to go to Bay St. Louis from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, it would take us about an hour and a half. We wouldn't even have to pull over and go to the bathroom. So
right.
So I'm sure Mary had that easy.
One of the beauties of going to the Holy Land and visiting these places is to learn the proximity of them. Mary here is about a 15-year-old girl. She's now just been announced that she's pregnant, and she then wants to go visit her relative Elizabeth. Doesn't say cousin or aunt or anything. It says kin, a relative.
Okay.
So, and she, Elizabeth, is 100% priesthood in her blood. Zechariah and Elizabeth, 100% Aaronic priesthood in their blood. Okay. So Mary, I think, had priestly blood as well. So I think that Mary probably got her from the line of the kings, Judah from Joseph, and the line of the priests was there in Mary's blood. So he's got prophet and the priest there in his blood even, or in his, not with Joseph, of course, but with by association of his adoption, he gained all the prerogatives.
Right.
Of Joseph and of the tribe of Judah. But anyway, Mary, she's on her way then to visit. What, does she go there to help Elizabeth because Elizabeth's pregnant? No, Elizabeth is from the high priest. They had a house up in the elite district up on the outside of Jerusalem, up in the, it's like a European city even today, up in the cool, not down in the, Jerusalem would have been a very nasty, walled city, animals in there, no breeze, 100 degrees, you can imagine the smell. And so you got, they lived out in the country in Ein Kerem, that's where the house of Elizabeth was, and she had more servants and helpers than she knew what to do with. I think Mary went there on a retreat. She went there for a spiritual retreat to visit with her very priestly family there,
yeah,
so to speak. The parents of John the Baptist, the angel had also come to them. So, I mean, this
right.
is, let's go, I'm going to go up and talk to her for a while. But it's 100 miles. It's not where you just walk a you know, and this is a tough, I say that if anything, Mary was a tough little Jewish girl. We see pictures of her with her beautiful, you know, she's so, her toenails are perfect, her hair is perfect, and we sing, mm-hmm. gentle woman. In reality, she's a Jewish mother. She's a tough woman. She walked 100 miles to go visit Elizabeth on rough territory. Then she walks back to Nazareth, 3 months pregnant she is now, another 100 miles. And then when she's 9 months pregnant, she walks another 90 or 100 miles back to Bethlehem. And then 250 miles to Egypt with the baby, and then 250 miles back, and then another 100 miles back to Nazareth. Mary was a tough Jewish girl.
That's a lot of steps. Yes.
Very much to be loved and respected, by the way, that I think even more so if we realize what her real life was like.
Yeah. Yeah. That is just amazing. And then, and all this while, I mean, she's working so hard, but at the same time, knowing what she's doing, fully aware of her role in the salvation, right?
Yep, I think she knew her Old Testament. She knew in Isaiah that a virgin would give birth to a baby. She knew from Genesis 3:15 that a woman bring enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and you will bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. So Mary knew her Bible, but I think there were a lot of things she didn't know as well. We kind of think that she was God herself and omniscient and knew everything. I don't think so, because even when Jesus was, they discovered him in the temple. After 3 days, they lost him. You know, can you imagine losing your kid or grandkid in a grocery store for 2 minutes? You panic.
Exactly.
Imagine 3 days. Mm-hmm. And what did she say? Why did you do this to your father and I? We don't understand. Why did you do this? And he says, well, don't you understand I have to be in my father's house? And Mary, she pondered these things. And you know what? The Annunciation, when the angel goes to Nazareth and speaks to her, I think one of the most poignant verses is the last one, which nobody pays attention to. After giving Mary, the 15-year-old girl, this announcement, it says, and then the angel left her.
That's it.
And Mary's standing there thinking, what just happened?
Right.
How do you how would any of us process,
yes,
mentally and spiritually process that message that just came to us? She didn't know that ahead of time.
No wonder she went on retreat.
Because the angel said, do not be afraid. So she's even like, oh, what's this coming to? Who's this talking to me, you know?
Right,
don't
right.
be afraid, Mary. Just relax. And how? I think probably she said, Mom, you know.
In a panic.
But Mary had to, the beauty of it is that Mary had to walk by faith like the rest of us every day.
Yeah.
The angel did not come back the next day and say, okay, Mary, I'll be here at 8 o'clock every morning to give you updates.
To help you out with this.
Updates.
I'm going to check in on the angel's account on Twitter, you know, and I'll get my daily update. Yeah.
No, it's sort of like you're giving birth to the Messiah. Okay, good luck. We'll see you later. And you're in charge from here on out. My goodness. Now, I never thought of it that way. Those abrupt words, and he left her. So that is just amazing. Well, Steve, it is great talking to you again. Where can we go to check up on you and all the events that you have coming up?
CatholicConvert.com. Everything is on the website. If you want to check out our pilgrimages, there's a big banner on the top with a changing picture every couple of minutes, so it's very nice. And hundreds of documents to defend the faith and explain Catholicism, and I write a daily blog and got lots of pictures and things. CatholicConvert.com, and it was delightful speaking with you again.
Well, we're looking forward to talking to you really soon. Thank you, Steve.
I'm going to put it on the calendar right now.
All right, Steve. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Wow. That is amazing, y'all. I just love visiting with Steve. So, all right. Yes. You're going to be talking with Dave Dawson, Jr., somebody I know very well, shortly.
Yes.
On Wake Up. We'll be right back.
It's 35 after the hour. Get up, get up, get going. It's time to wake up. And you are listening to Wake Up. Damian Collado along Gabby Smith, David Dawson. And with us now, David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office of Marriage and Family, here to talk about prioritizing being on the same page with your spouse. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing fine. How are you doing is the question.
Doing good.
Well, good. So let's get right into it. Getting on the same page with your spouse, it sounds like something that's kind of an automatic, especially after you get married. But usually about a month or two into the marriage, you find out that isn't the case.
You're not even in the same book. Yeah. Right.
No. No. I always say it's like you move to another planet.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to speak the language. You know. Yeah. It's funny how that was one of the questions I had for God in prayer when we first got married. I was like, "What were you thinking? This is a terrible idea." You know, the fact that we're so different. We think not only are we different as people and different backgrounds, but just men and women. You know, just the way we process reality and the most important things. It's almost opposite. And I almost feel like God's up there being like, wah-ha-ha, you know, like this mad scientist. And if they don't figure out how to get along, the species won't survive, you know. But I think that it's one of those things. St. John Paul II really clarified a lot of the church's teachings on sexuality and the difference between the sexes, and helping us understand that the two sexes are complementary. However, that means that we're different. And at first, and even throughout our marriage, that can be extremely frustrating and discouraging, because the difference is it requires a lot of energy. It requires recognizing that, like, we're not just going to automatically be connecting and thinking the same things and being on the same page. I know that one of the things that one of the realities that kind of came crashing against the rocks was the idea of soulmates. You know, the idea that, like, you see these quotes like, "Hey, we're made of the same stuff. We just star-crossed, we had to just find each other, and the rest is going to take care of itself." That could not be further from the truth. You know, like, we don't have the same soul. We have two very different souls. You know, and the idea of being on the same page is going to require a lot of work. But at the same time, God made us to where, like, it's what we want more than anything. I think that's what married couples recognize, is, like, what I want more than anything, what I signed up for, was to be on the same page, is to be experiencing reality together, to rejoice together, to grieve and mourn together, like to do this together. And the fact that we're different, the reason God made us that way is because we're mystery to one another, but it's meant to be not like that we can't figure each other out, but that we're meant to, like, dive in deeper and deeper to where, like, we never get to the bottom of that mystery.
Right.
And isn't that great that we, that the otherness of the other draws us in and makes us, you know, we have, like, this wonder and this awe. Which is great in the grand scheme of things, but the truth is, like, that's going to require a lot of focus and a lot of work for us, and the energy that it takes is not something we have at the get-go. It's like we got to run a marathon, but we haven't even started running yet. So it's attractive, maybe, but it's going to take us a while to get used to living that way.
So how do you get used to it? How do you get on the same page from the beginning rather than waiting 5, 10 divorce years, whatever the case may be? Because that's what you do not want to see,
right?
Is animosity building up in the relationship. So what are some of the suggestions that you can provide our listeners to make sure everybody is on doing their best to be on the same page?
Yeah, the prioritization is the key, right? So I think as we get moving, we recognize that, like, it's the little things that tend to take up most of our time. It's just trying to survive the day, just getting through the day. The things that have, like, felt consequences. If I don't do this right now, something bad is going to happen immediately. If I don't feed my kids right now, if I don't go to work, if I don't handle this situation. And then after a while, we actually start getting, and I would say almost like addicted to putting out small fires. To where, like, if I don't respond to this notification, if I don't handle this, if I don't rest right now, I'm going to die. You know, like, it's to where, like, the big stuff, what seems like big picture, kind of the slow burn kind of things, like our relationship, our marriage, being on the same page. I want so badly to be on the same page, but it's going to take a while. We're going to have a long, tough conversation. I'm going to have to listen to you. You're going to have to listen to me. Can we just do that tomorrow? I'm just tired. You know, or like, we got stuff to do. You know, all right, we'll do it tomorrow. All right, we'll do it when we go on vacation. All right, we'll do it. You know, we can finally get the kids to the grandparents' house and we can spend a few days at the beach. And what happens is, even if we are to do those things, we're so out of the habit of listening to each other, of spending time together, that we end up just messing around on our phones the whole time. Right? Or walking around and we go to a restaurant together, we go on a date, and we just kind of look around and comment on all the people around us, you know? Yeah. So I think it's something that if we're not in the habit of prioritizing it, sorry about that, on a daily basis.
I love that sound.
You know, but yeah, if we're not fighting for it on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. So like Kate and I will on a monthly basis have a sit down, like we get a babysitter, we'll go away and like talk about how we're doing, what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, how you doing? How am I doing? So we recognize, like, I want to be focused on you, and I don't just want to be focused on you for 10 minutes. I want to know, is there anything between us that's keeping us from being on the same page? Like, where's the walls? Where's the big stones? Mm. Let's deal with those. And so once a month, we'll do that. But if they come up, we're not waiting. You know, the kids, we're going to put on a video for the kids, and we're going to come in the back, and we're going to talk it out. Just because I don't want to wait. And I've realized that waiting and pushing it off is only going to make it worse, and I want to be with her now. And that's what God gave me, is a wife that I can be with now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Right. You should be vulnerable. And at the same time, I think the communication aspect is critical, and more importantly, understanding one's core values, too. What is it that you really value in the relationship? So you, as the spouse, can make sure those things happen, because if that's their priority, you got to know what it is so you can perform it, so to speak. And I don't mean like entertain, but that's what bringing one together is all about.
Yeah, and there was a song, what was the Jars of Clay song way back when. Talking about how, like, you know, we're espouses, a lot of times we're like books we picked up but we never really read through. We assume we know the ending, right? Mm-hmm. And we just kind of assume, like, I know where you're coming from, you know. We think we can finish each other's sentences, but the truth is, we're a mystery to each other. And like you said, those values, we assume we know. Like, I know why you value this thing, and you know what? I don't like that. Yeah. When the truth is, I've never really asked. We've never really got down to it. So what happens is we start building up these assumptions because we never ask. And so if we're just not some kind of structure, or we're checking in with each other, how you doing? What's going on? And a lot of times, like, if I feel disrespected, I feel disregarded, I feel like you don't know me, you know, like, I feel like it's probably because somebody's made an assumption somewhere along the line. And I think if we're not fighting to prioritize being on the same page, if these things build up, what happens is 10, 15, 20 years down the road, those walls start to crystallize, and it takes a lot longer for them to come down.
Wow.
But the good news is it's still not impossible. God can handle even the most hard-hearted, kind of crystallized walls that we put up to protect each other from those assumptions, and he can actually reignite this desire to be on the same page. And maybe we gave up on it a long time ago. Maybe we just assume, well, you know what, this is as close as we're going to get. Well, that's not true. That is not as close as we're going to get. And it's not what God wants. He didn't put us together to kind of settle for, like, I guess this will do. It's better than not having anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. And so the bottom line is to try to do that and keep it balanced. You know, not make it one-sided, correct? You've got to have a balanced life, whether it's just in the fun aspect, the family aspect, or even with their friends. And we're running out of time, but that's another point, is get to know their friends, your wife's friends, and let your wife's friends get to know who your key friends are. I think that's healthy.
For sure. Yeah, no, I think but recognizing that we have to operate as a unit, right? If there's any situation, like a key thing with friends, though, if my friends know more about me than my spouse does, we got an issue.
Yeah, well, there you go. That is the point I was getting at. Yes. Yeah. It shouldn't be that way. Your best friend needs to be your spouse.
But that,
exactly.
But that
and
valuable
that's probably
time.
A good indicator.
Yeah, the valuable time for conversation, especially listening.
That's right.
Especially
mm-hmm.
listening, because exactly. I find the more she talks and the more I'm quiet listening, the more it's like she's saying stuff I never realized. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. Yeah.
It
takes practice.
You don't realize how much you're assuming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if there is tension, make sure when you go to speak, you do it with love.
Yes.
In your heart. And not anger.
Or just don't speak.
Fighting for you.
Don't speak. That's right.
Boy.
All right. Well, David, it went by quick today. David Dawson, Jr., Director of Parish Support and Home of Thibodeau Diocese. Thank you for being with us. As always, we'll talk to you next week, brother. Okay. Yeah. All right, folks, don't go too far. We've got more coming your way on Wake Up.
To the truth with us this morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Our next guest is Samuel Rotman. He's the Director of Institutional Development at Catholic Charities and the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Samuel. Thanks for being with us on Wake Up today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about what Catholic Charities is doing for the month of May. You guys are so busy doing amazing things, helping others who really need them in the greater New Orleans area. So tell our listeners what you guys are doing. But first of all, I wanted to start off with some programs that are being implemented in Catholic Charities.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this month we've got a lot going on, as we typically do. We were happy to partner with the Catholic Community Foundation and the Women's Giving Circle, and we were able to be one of, or several of our programs were beneficiaries of their generous support. And we had Bethlehem Housing, Adoption Services, Pregnancy Services, and Cornerstone as a part of that.
Tell our listeners about some of these agencies or some of these programs. I think one of the ones that we have talked about the most on Wake Up has been Cornerstone Builders, which has helped so many people. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about these programs?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, starting with Cornerstone, as you mentioned, some of your listeners might be familiar with it, but it's really something that's there to support people who are just getting out of incarceration and are getting their feet on the ground. So we provide wraparound services for those folks. But, of course, we've got other programs that we're able to receive funding, like adoption services and pregnancy services, which are part of our pro-life services, and, of course, Bethlehem Housing as well, which helps people get shelter and housing, and also provide people with that stability that they need. You know, at Catholic Charities, we're all about bringing people into a stable condition so that they can thrive and receive that dignity that we know as Catholics that they have. Yeah.
Well, I think this is another reason of being pro-life, is helping in all stages of life, which is why I like talking about a lot of these programs, because we're helping people, no matter the circumstance, providing them shelter or helping them when they get out of prison to get back into that transition of life, which can be very difficult. So I'm glad that you guys have these programs and we're here to talk about them as well. Tell our listeners, you know, we're getting into the summertime and it's taking me back to volunteer service hours that I needed for school for the upcoming year. going and volunteering at soup kitchens or going to hospices, assisted living places to help with care over there. Do you have any opportunities for students who are looking for those volunteer service hours?
Absolutely, absolutely. Volunteers are such an important part of the mission of Catholic Charities, and we certainly have opportunities throughout the year, but this, in the summer, we try to accommodate those high schoolers that are not only looking for service hours, but looking for something to give their time, give meaning to their summer break. So we have a SERVE program, which is specifically designed for students not only trying to meet their hours, but to have an impact. And we've got three different weekends that they're able to volunteer in June and July. And they'll have opportunities to pack food for those who need food and also participate with PACE GNO, our program for all-inclusive care for the elderly, which is in the Bywater. So several different opportunities on several different weekends, depending on what your camp schedule is like and summer travel is like. We have a SERVE week that could accommodate that.
I also wanted to highlight the Food for Seniors program. This was such a needed program and very successful during the pandemic, especially during the early days of the pandemic. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Food for Seniors program?
Yeah, absolutely. The Food for Seniors program is a once-a-month box of groceries that people that are 65 and older can get. And it really is, it's kind of a beautiful thing. It's very intentional. The box of food has proteins and grains, everything to provide balanced nutrition for those people who really could use some help, especially after the pandemic. Times were not great economically, and there was an increased need for that sort of support. So we're really happy to be feeding the hungry. And
Samuel, where can people go to volunteer? Maybe they're looking for something to do this summer, or like we talked about, the service hours for teens or students. Where can they go to find out more information?
I'm so glad you asked. Yeah, so people can go to our website. It's ccano.org. And on the website, you can select volunteers, and that will have all the volunteer opportunities. And certainly we have SERVE for the high schoolers, but as I mentioned before, there are many different opportunities to volunteer with several different programs. So that's all on our website. So I would go to ccano.org and click volunteers, and there will be plenty of opportunities there for you.
Samuel, thank you so much for joining us. Samuel Rotman, Director of Institutional Development over at Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you so much for this wonderful update, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Gabby.
Yes.
They do a lot.
Well, if you have any events happening, yeah, and you know, they have so many things, gatherings as well, where you can help and volunteer. But if anyone has events happening in their listening area, church, parish, festivals coming up, community events, school events, vacation Bible school, been hearing a lot about that.
Oh, yeah.
As we get into the summer months, you can send it to us for free, and we'll post it on our events calendar, which is highly looked at on our website at ccmedia.live. Click on events and news, and there is a submit your event form. And if you want to talk about it on Wake Up, everything is absolutely free. We're here for you. So if you have an event coming up,
I like the food festivals.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
I like that crawfish and the crab and the, you know, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we ought to get a special category for festivals.
Maybe we ought to get in a bus and just go.
Oh, yes. We could do that too.
A field trip.
Yeah. Speaking of going, Advent at Sea is not too far away now. It's getting closer. Father Chris Decker, you can join him for Advent at Sea 2023. It's a four-night West Caribbean cruise departing from New Orleans on December 7th and ending on the 11th in 2023. And
that wasn't Damien.
That's David with gas.
That was,
we'll get that corrected with a little a few tums. He'll be okay. If you would like to sign up, though, just go to ccmedia.live. You can find out how you can secure a cabin and join the crew as we cruise to the Caribbean, Western Caribbean, and you get all the details. That's in December for Advent.
And Our Lady of Guadalupe. the festival.
Yes.
I mean, the feast.
I guess.
So we feast. Celebrate all
yes,
of that.
Yes, it is.
I mean, because it's kind of appropriate.
Right. Yeah. And also, one real quick note, the Holy Spirit Novena and Revival kicks off tomorrow.
Oh, yes, it does.
At St. John of the Cross Catholic Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Again, go to ccmedia.live. It's 9 days of worship. It's 9 days of, they're going to have a mass each and every evening. Father Sidney Speaks kicks things off tomorrow evening. It all begins at 6:15 with confession and praise and worship, followed by Mass at 7 o'clock, and then they're even going to do a coffee house, so to speak, after Mass, so everybody can get together and do a little fellowship. So, a lot of things going on.
Indeed.
Make your plans accordingly, and we're planning to wrap it up right now here on Wake Up This Morning as we approach the 8 o'clock hour. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. John of God, when you heard the message of the gospel, you gave up a life of sin and converted to a life of Christ. Pray for us that we may abandon the things in our life that are keeping us from God. Please pray for those who have fallen away from the faith, that they may come to know the saving love of Christ. We ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Tyler Morrow with CASA joins us. David Summers talks about St. Joseph's Cathedral in Baton Rouge, a Feast of the Ascension events. Sister Alicia Torres joins us in the Catholic Foodie. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.